You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, hosting that Right Side Radio the guy was just talking about. This is the show that's on Monday through Friday, 2 to 5 p.m. We are here with you right now, and we're here with you every day to make sure that you are educated, enlightened, empowered, and entertained, and that somewhere in the mix, you recognize that you are not alone. You're a conservative, and you're wondering what's going on with the world around you. Well, guess what? There's an audience full of Right Side ruffians on this show that are basically able to stand right there with you. You guys get armed up for this show. Take all the facts and then go out and make hay with them. That's what we do. It's Monday. It's Monday all day long, but Copper is here anyway, running the board. Good day to you, Miss Copper.
Good day. How was your weekend?
It was a good weekend. It was a good weekend. Although I will say this, Charlene was not home. She was being a grandmother to that great grandbaby, or not great grandbaby, but to that wonderful grandbaby that we have, and so she was off doing that, which means that I am lonely and malnourished, and I'm ready for my wife to come home. So
sounds good.
Yeah, but it was good otherwise. Hey, the Triple Dipper, and by the way, the sound effect was sent back for a little refining, so we don't have the special sound effect yet, but the Triple Dipper, three stories you got to know. I'm going to do this every day. I'm going to tell you what I see, the three storyline trends that I'm going to operate off of. The Triple Dipper for today is this. Number one is the Montgomery legislators are about to spend over $1 billion this week. Montgomery, your state senators and state representatives have been heading down to Montgomery today. They are intent upon spending upwards of $1.2 billion on prisons, and I'll tell you more about that. Number two in the Triple Dipper of three stories you got to know, the world is less safe today than it was 1 year ago. Now, I'm not going to be a doomsayer, but I got to tell you things when I see them. And right now, the storyline that I'm going to spin for you is that the world is less safe today than it was a year ago. And number three on the Triple Dipper of three stories you got to know, the Biden agenda is crumbling on all fronts. So on the one hand, we are less safe, but number two, or the next thing after that, is that at least we can say that the Biden agenda appears to be falling apart, and that's good for us. But listen, that whole thing about the legislators running or heading down to Montgomery to run a special session, I got to ask you this. Let me step into a moment here, all right, where I ask you, did you ever play kick the can when you were a kid? I don't know. Is that a Southern thing? I think it is. I don't know if it is or not, but I was a Southern kid, so maybe. All right. This was a thing in the summertime. Oh, and Copper loved that game. There you go. See? And Copper, you were not from Alabama, so it must not be a purely Alabama thing. So
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Okay. And it hasn't gone out of date either.
There you go. Still good. Well, kick the can. In case you don't know, it was a thing that I did when I was a kid. We ran barefoot through the woods and around the neighborhoods with my cousins in the summertime, and we would kick that can. And we usually played at night. It was more challenging that way. And when a person kicked the can, everyone scattered. And we had to set up borders because you didn't want somebody like running a country mile and not being found. But it was like hide and seek mixed with tag and an old can. In the dark way, we played it. Good times. Well, somewhere, the phrase kicking the can down the road took on a different meaning in politics. It means like a deferred responsibility. And I'll be honest with you, I hated that phrase when I was in the state Senate. But here I am, referencing it now. Well, you may have heard me say a moment ago, the Alabama legislature is going into special session today. Now, what that means is this. You may have heard me say it before, but the Alabama legislature, the House and the Senate, all of your local state senators and state representatives, they can only go into session once a year unless, that's called the regular session, but unless the governor calls them in for a special session. It's kind of weird. It's supposed to be co-equal branches of government, but the legislature can't convene on its own outside of its regular schedule. It has to be called in by the governor for a special session, and that's where we are today. Well, the special session today is to deal with the fact that Alabama's prison system is in a mess, a complete mess. And by the way, this is not news, all right? But this special session is big doings. And in 2011, I need you to know this, in 2011, California had a federal court order the release of large numbers of its state prisoners. Well, Alabama has been embroiled in litigation over similar issues as California had for years. And our time is unfortunately running out, and we don't want to be a repeat of what happened to California with prisoners just being let go because the courts didn't agree with the way we ran our system. But the issue here is not new, all right? This has been continually the can that was kicked down the road. Well, the Alabama Policy Institute, where our Right Side Radio and myself are also affiliated, the Alabama Policy Institute has been reviewing the facts as they're known today about this special session of the Alabama legislature beginning today. And in doing so, the API staff has spent time reviewing the proposed legislation. We've been speaking with members of the legislature, legislative staff, other stakeholders and planners in the process. I was on a conference call again as recently as Friday. And I'm going to tell you, we've run the numbers. Now, the Alabama Policy Institute, and me as a conservative, me personally, will never default to increased government spending and or increased debt as our first options for securing the provision of what we would call essential services, right? I mean, if you're supposed to do it, work the budget. And the API leadership has taken a hard look at this present situation to include a review of the potential legal and the moral implications of yet another failure of the Alabama executive and legislative branches to adequately address our crumbling infrastructure in the prison system. And for too many years, like I said, this has been an issue that we just kicked down the road. Twice while I was there in the state Senate, the issue came up of how to fund the construction of new prisons. Because folks, I'm going to tell you right now, they're falling apart. They are. So the problems are real. I've toured them. They are awful. But that being said, this has been going on for a while. Twice while I was there in the state Senate, we had legislation that would have involved a bond issue because that was all we had because we were not in the budget surpluses they're in right now. And twice the state Senate would pass it, and twice the House did not take it up. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. API and myself, Phil Williams, are taking what I would call a yes-but approach to this special session. It's a yes in that we believe we have to fund or have to pass the proposed legislation. We have to fund the construction of new prisons. The proposal involves a combination of excess revenues on hand, one-time funds from COVID relief, and a bond issue not to exceed $785 million. That's a lot of money. Passage of the legislation, though, needs to occur during this special session and without any further delays. It's time to get it done. API further believes that the legislation should also take into account that the whole bid process has already occurred because the governor tried to do this on her own last year and couldn't get it done. So all the bidding has been done. The plans are in place. I think we ought to incorporate those and move forward. And the legislation, though, comes at a time when state revenues are at an all-time high. So with deference, you know, here given to the fact that Alabama's revenues are some of the most earmarked in the nation, we do believe, though, that this should not be a burden that's borne solely by what we call our general fund budget. Keep in mind, we have two budgets in Alabama, one of only three states in the nation that hamstrings ourselves like this. One budget is all education. The other budget is everything else but education. And right now, the general fund, that's the everything but education budget, is scheduled to have to pay for the majority, if not all, of this prison issue. Well, I got news. The education trust fund is flush with cash, and it needs to help pick up some of the costs because part of what they're building is education facilities within the new prisons so that we can train and educate prisoners so they don't go back out and commit more crimes. All right, now. Listen, we can go on and on with this, but the reality is there's some other pieces of this that I'll unfold for you later in the show. But right now, I said it was a yes, but. Let me get to the but. The yes, but refers to how we're going to view this thing after the regular session, which starts in January. See, for 3 out of the 4 years of this legislative quadrennium, that means they get elected for 4-year periods, right? The Alabama House and Senate has deferred the prison issue over and over again, and now here we are with a special session and no time left. Well, the matter's been put off consistently while politics and what I would call center-left priorities took place. So while they were not passing prison legislation before, they still find time to raise your gas taxes without any reforms. They had little appetite for school choice. They've given no substantive time to creating tax breaks for the lower and middle class. They've debated the expansion of casino gaming. They passed medical marijuana, which also, by the way, it grew your government and raised your taxes. And they were virtually absent without any indications of their presence at all during the pandemic. And even still, they're going to now go into special session. Well, listen, this legislature, this is a Republican supermajority. None of its members ever campaigned. They didn't run a single campaign ad saying that they were center-left moderates. But the prison legislation before the bodies of the House and Senate this week, it should cause the conservative members of the bodies to pause because of all the new spending it involves. But they're going to have to vote on it, though, because they know we can't defer it any longer. But if, at the end of the regular session next January, the people of the state see them go center-left again in the way they do normal business, well, then, by God, we're going to know that they are really truly a center-left supermajority. They're not conservatives. And they just vote for a prison bill like this one with a shrug of the shoulders. I'm going to tell you, folks, we need to know that this Republican supermajority is going to start acting like conservatives should act. It is past time. API and the vast majority of this state longs to know that the Alabama legislature would rise to its potential and take action to establish this quadrennium that they're in with 1 year left as being one where not only did they face the issues, but they showed the world what conservatives can do when they get their minds to it. See, we can't kick this right down the road anymore. We're basically out of road. But we also need to know who these people are that ran on conservatism but have been governing from the center and sometimes even from the left. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, folks, it's a big deal. They're about to spend $1.2 to $1.3 billion. And I get it. It's an essential service. These prisons, we'll unpack that more when we come back from the break. But I'm going to tell you right now, these folks down there, the vast majority of them ran saying, I'm a Donald Trump Republican. I'm a Donald Trump conservative. I'm all there for you. Second Amendment, pro-life, woohoo! And all we keep seeing is junk like casino gaming and no tax breaks. Golly, it's time for a change. We've got to see some things happening down there. Otherwise, we're going to know who they really are. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We will be right back.